Well, today I'll be talking about how state, local, and territorial immunization programs used ERA funds to implement operations to increase immunization coverage rates. Oh, getting too far. Okay, so I can click. Great. Well, first I'd like to provide a little background regarding the individuals I'll be talking about today. The members of the Association of Immunization Managers, or AIM, consist of 50 states, 8 territories, and 6 cities that receive federal immunization grant funding from the CDC through the 317 program. Today, I will refer to them as grantees. Now, over the years, I've really been inspired by Dr. Wildenwald's use of analogies in his presentations, especially his use of bicycles. Now, even though this story technically includes bicycles, you'll have to let Lance know that I'll be focusing on a different analogy, the journey. Now, grantees are similar to Dorothy. They're on a continuous journey towards reaching their goals of improving vaccination coverage rates. And just like Dorothy, along the way, this journey, grantees must overcome many challenges. And I'm glad they're not flying monkeys. But with every journey, opportunities arrive. For grantees, the opportunity is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. In the previous presentation, Dr. Santoli reviewed the use of $168 million in ERA funds to purchase vaccine. Today's presentation will focus on the grantees' use of approximately $97 million in ERA funds to support grantee operations and infrastructure. I will also include how some of the ERA funds were used to purchase vaccine for the special initiatives. Now, the $97 million in ERA infrastructure and operation funding included various funding opportunities for grantees. Now, grantees had flexibility in applying for the various funding opportunities. It was one-time funding, must be spent by December 2011, and to promote transparency, the grantees are required to report on activities quarterly to recovery.gov and monthly to the CDC. Today's presentation is an overview of the strategies chosen by grantees to implement new or improved programming and initiatives to increase vaccinations in various populations. Specifically, I will touch on the strategies implemented to increase the access to vaccine and to enhance infrastructure. I will provide examples how the grantees were able to implement these strategies and address gaps in their existing immunization grantee activities. I will review the lessons learned about sustainability and success. Now, keep in mind, this only covers a few examples of what was done. There are other important factors in programs implemented by grantees. And at the end of this presentation, I will direct you to a resource that AIM has developed in a collaboration with CDC to summarize each grantee's ERA activities by grantee. AIM collaborated with the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases to develop grantee fact sheets regarding the use of ERA funds for vaccine, operations, and infrastructure. The ERA fact sheets were developed based on reports submitted to the CDC and then reviewed and verified by each grantee and the CDC project officer. The maps that I present today were developed based on these ERA fact sheets and grantee input via email. The examples were provided by grantee input who volunteered. Today's presentation covers the activities of 59 grantees. The grantee in grays are not included because today's presentation, we are still verifying this information. Now, strategies for increasing vaccinations. First, we're going to review increased access to vaccine. And a proven strategy is making vaccines more accessible. This includes overcoming barriers related to the cost of vaccine and improving access to immunization services. When reviewing grantee ERA fact sheets, we found that many grantees implemented various strategies to improve access to vaccine in order to increase immunization coverage rates. Our first effort was for the uninsured and underinsured adults. The uninsured and underinsured adults face a number of obstacles, which include high out-of-pocket costs for care and difficulty identifying providers that will provide services. There will always be a need for a vaccine safety net for adults. Even with the various provisions of the Health Care Act, it is estimated there will be 24 million people uninsured or difficult to reach. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheet and feedback from grantees, the 26 grantees in red implemented strategies which targeted uninsured and underinsured adults. This includes the use of ERA infrastructure operation and vaccine dollars to support the initiative. Now, it also may be an underrepresentation because at this time we don't have the ability to identify how all the grantees used ERA vaccine dollars. Now some examples. This is the good part. Utah targeted high-risk homeless population with their recommended vaccines through a collaboration with a clinic that serves over 6,000 homeless patients a year with over 28,000 visits. Prior to ERA, the clinic significantly reduced their adult program due to funding constraints for staff and vaccine. Because of ERA, the center reported that 90% of the clients left the clinic with having received at least one vaccine. Now, Wyoming implemented a vaccine for uninsured adults program to provide all ACIP-recommended immunizations for adults without insurance. This initiative is important in Wyoming because it's estimated 30% of all Wyomingites under the age of 65 went without health insurance for some period of time. Because of ERA funding, the University of Wyoming reported a dramatic uptake in the vaccines for HPV. Another effort is through non-traditional providers. Individuals without a medical home often seek care and counseling at sites that may not have the capacity to administer vaccine, such as pharmacies, hospitals, homeless shelters, nursing homes, and university settings. These non-traditional settings are often more accessible and convenient than a healthcare provider's office or a public health clinic, especially for the medically underserved adults. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheets and feedback from grantees, the 24 grantees in blue utilized ERA funds to increase vaccination services at non-traditional providers. Again, this includes ERA infrastructure and operations funds and vaccine dollars to support the initiative and may be underrepresentative. Some examples. Michigan provided operational support for the Children's Hospital of Michigan Immunization Station. Michigan identified a need to reduce missed vaccination opportunities for children who did not get their scheduled primary visits or who seek care in specialty care clinics. ERA funds allowed the clinic to be open 5 days a week instead of their normal 3 days a week. In 2009-2010, 4,700 patients were served with over 15,000 vaccines. Patients doubled from the year before because of ERA. Massachusetts identified 152 new provider sites and trained each of them to establish immunization services. The state provided guidance on requirements for vaccine administration, vaccine storage and handling, and all the other reporting requirements. Another effort is through cocooning programs. Pertussis outbreaks are a major concern for our grantees. In California, 10 infants died from pertussis. Grantees are looking for strategies to protect these infants who are often too young to receive the completed series of vaccines. One strategy that has been recommended by the CDC is called cocooning, or vaccinating all the caregivers and family members of newborn to protect them from exposure to disease. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheets and feedback from grantees, the 25 grantees in green implemented strategies, cocooning strategies. This includes ERA infrastructure operations and some vaccine dollars to support the initiative, and again, may be underrepresentation. Some examples. Texas cocooning strategy is a three-pronged approach focusing on education for providers, the public, and the expansion of Tdap vaccine to over 450 immunization sites, including OBGYNs and hospital birthing centers. These efforts are important because in 2007 through 2009, Texas experienced an increase in pertussis disease. And also in this time frame, 7 infants died of pertussis disease because they were too young to be vaccinated. Now, Kentucky vaccinated health department and elementary school staff with Tdap, and that included 14,000 doses of vaccine. Since they had several outbreaks in schools across the state, they felt that immunizing teachers may assist in closing the gaps in immunizations as well as decreasing transmission to the homes of these teachers. Another effort is school-located vaccination clinics, or SLV. SLV has increasingly been accepted as a potential viable option for vaccinating many school-aged children and as a way to reach others for vaccination. Because of the universal influenza recommendation and the need for H1N1 mass vaccination clinics, many grantees implemented SLV clinics to administer vaccine because the existing provider capacity was limited. Based on information from AeroFax sheets and feedback from grantees, we identified 23 providers in Orange that use ERA funds to implement campaigns. This includes infrastructure, operations, and vaccine dollars, and also may be underrepresented. Some examples. North Carolina used ERA funds to provide vaccine, operation funding, technical assistance, and educational materials for in-school vaccination clinics and staff time to upload these records into the IAS. Prior to ERA, influenza uptake was low. Local health departments reported that more students were vaccinated than ever before using the ERA project dollars in school-located vaccination efforts. Many of these students received flu vaccine for the very first time. Arkansas conducted school clinics and hosted Saturday clinics to vaccinate sixth graders to meet their new Tdap vaccination requirement for entry into seventh grade. ERA funded supported administration of almost 21,000 doses in school clinics, resulting in a 57% coverage rate just from these clinics in schools. Another effort is healthcare workers' vaccinations. Healthcare workers at increased risk for exposure and transmission to vaccine-preventable diseases because of their contact with patients and infected materials from patients. Now, the CDC guidelines for infection control recommend the vaccination of healthcare personnel. At 62%, the 2010-11 influenza coverage rates for healthcare workers are below the Healthy People 2020 goal of 90%. Thus, grantees are looking for ways to improve the vaccination rates in this population. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheets and feedback from grantees, we identified six grantees in purple that used ERA funds to implement programming to vaccinate healthcare workers. Again, this includes infrastructure, operations, and vaccine dollars, and may be an underrepresentation. Some examples. Now, Maryland vaccinated healthcare workers through their existing healthcare workers influenza initiative. As in most states, Maryland found that many employers appreciate the importance of vaccinating their staff, but often lack the resources to implement campaigns. Because of ERA funding, Maryland was able to offer many grants to provide monetary support for facilities' employee influenza vaccination campaigns and toolkits to help them implement the program. They offered a two-for-one vaccine match program for non-influenza vaccines that provided two doses of vaccine for every one dose grant recipient committed to purchase. Now, another strategy for increasing vaccinations is enhancement of infrastructure. Many grantees used ERA funds to enhance their public health IT infrastructure. Today, I will review these strategies related to IAS and billing systems. Keep in mind this is not an inclusive list, but it represents the strategies most commonly implemented by grantees. Now, there is strong evidence that immunization information systems are effective in increasing vaccination rates. Over the years, there has been great progress in developing these systems. However, there still remains gaps in the maturity of the systems, the amount of complete records in the IAS, and the extent of providers utilizing the IAS. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheets and feedback from grantees, 40 grantees in peak used ERA funds to increase records, increase the providers, or improve the functionality in IAS. Some examples. Now, Alaska increased the number of new providers who use electronic medical records in VTRAC, their IAS, and trained each new provider to submit electronic immunization information directly into the system. This is important for Alaska because they recently deployed a new IAS and needed to populate the IAS without overburdening providers. With the ERA funds, 20 providers are currently working on systems to exchange data. Colorado expanded the functionality for schools and child care users by making enhancements to their school nurse module. And they are making plans to implement a new policy to allow schools, child care, and Head Start programs to enter new patients and historical immunization information into the IAS. Because of ERA funds, 38 school districts, 16 Head Starts were added, which resulted in a patient saturation increase from 86% to 94%. Billing systems is our next effort. Now, many public health clinics provide vaccines to all those in need, but few have the ability to bill health insurance plans or Medicaid for services provided. Public health clinics typically lack the resources necessary to establish IT systems to support billing. There is evidence that use of billing systems results in savings that can be reinvested in vaccine purchase for uninsured adults and children. Based on information gathered from ERA fact sheets and feedback from grantees, 13 grantees in blue used ERA funds for billing systems. Some examples. Massachusetts developed a system by which local public health, school, and Veterans Affairs could bill health plans for the cost of administering flu vaccine to plan members. Now, prior to ERA, there was a mechanism for local public health to bill Medicare, but there was no mechanism to bill for people under 65 years of age. Because of ERA, now 103 communities now have the expanded capacity to bill and be reimbursed for health plans. For example, for H1N1, 44,000 claims were submitted to local public health, schools, and Veteran Affairs, which resulted in over 300,000 in reimbursement. Now, Ohio is in the planning process for building a billing system for local health districts. Because of ERA, Ohio was able to conduct a survey in which they determined factors important for planning. Ohio also is in the process of awarding a local health department grant to develop and conduct a training program that will prepare other local health districts to bill. Now, there's always lessons learned along the way. Some of the successes of ERA include grantees were given the opportunity to start preparing for an environment where most people may have health insurance. They expanded the population beyond the VFC eligible. They expanded access beyond the traditional provider's office. And they made great strides in building IT infrastructure that can grow with healthcare reform. ERA helped grantees implement the expanded federal requirements and state laws, such as influenza flu recommendation, VFC site visit requirements, and state-specific school laws. In order to maintain grantees' efforts, there is a need for continuous operations and infrastructure funding. Funding is needed to maintain the staff that were hired and retained to implement ERA programs. Also, many of these ERA programs I talked about today resulted in the recruitment of new providers. More providers result in more staff that is needed to conduct the CDC-required accountability visits. Now, we also learned that there are gaps in vaccine coverage for adults, and continuous vaccine funding is needed to maintain grantees' efforts to reach the underserved population. Last, we learned that there is a need for funding to maintain and build the IT infrastructure. Sustained funding is needed in order to keep up with the changing technology. Also, grantees will need funding to help support these systems implemented by new users. The conclusion. Now, ERA funding was grantees' ruby red slippers that helped them along their journey of improving immunization coverage rates. ERA helped grantees implement new programs to protect children from diseases, such as cocooning and school-located vaccination clinics. It enhanced existing proven strategies to increasing immunization coverage rates, such as immunization information systems and administering a vaccine in non-traditional settings. And ERA funds helped support the development of a sustainable public IT and billing system. These activities would not have been possible with existing immunization infrastructure funds. As for the future, it's just not a dream over the rainbow. In reality, most people may have health insurance, but challenges will still remain to assure high immunization coverage rates in all populations. Sustainable operations and infrastructure is the key to continuing programs implemented with ERA funds. Now, the grantee fact sheets are going to be available on the AIM website at immunizationmanagers.org. This will be available as of Monday next week. You'll be able to go to our homepage, and on the right-hand corner, there will be a link to these fact sheets. And then as you see to the left, there will be the state. You just click on it, or the city or the territory, and their grantee fact sheet will pop up. Now, none of this would have been possible without the collaboration with NCRD, their wonderful staff. Sharon Pritchett, can you please stand? She's been my friend for the past year. Sashawn and Andrea and Kristen, and of course the immunization program managers that contributed greatly to this project. Thank you.
Thank you, that was wonderful. Are there questions? And if there are, could you come up to the microphone, please?
Hello, everybody. My name is Shelley Smith, and I'm from Detroit. I'm a nurse for the health department, and I just wanted to actually make a statement more so than a question, and I just want to let you know how effective the ERA funds were. I work with the uninsured and underinsured adult population, and in a program that I started, actually it started maybe like July of last year, and I got it up and running and out in the community. And my program was a community-based program where I went out to homeless shelters. I went out to substance abuse treatment centers and just different places where, like the Salvation Army and Detroit Rescue Mission and stuff like that. And as of today, we have immunized approximately a little bit over 700 clients by going out with our team. And so the monies for ERA have been very effective, and it's been a program that's been very much appreciated by a lot of directors and stuff like that who are hurting for funds and, you know, services that they, you know, really do need. And computer-based program system that we have is called a MICR system. We were able to get the adults into our system so that we could keep track of immunizations that adults had, and then the immunizations that we gave were the Tdap, the twin ricks, the pneumococcal, and the influenza, and it's just been a huge success. And we just want to say thank you for the monies, and hopefully they'll find some place where we can get some more monies from, because it really did work. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Great.